Blog Talk Radio.
Night Visions with WPRS.
I'm Wendy.
And I'm Eric.
And we're here with Vision Inc.
Of course, we can't forget Vision Inc. Hope everybody's having a good night tonight. We have a lot of fun information for you guys tonight.
We recently went to the Eastern State Penitentiary, which is in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, over the weekend. And we brought back a lot of information, a lot of ghost stories, some accounts of our own. So we're just going to go over everything tonight.
So we hope you'll find this information interesting. I'm going to start out, and I'm just going to give a little bit of history about the place, some little facts, and then we're going to share a few things that we saw when we were there. But they say, you know, there's certain places well suited for haunting, prisons and insane asylums. And those are basically my favorite places to go, because they say a lot of times tormented individuals who often die within the buildings that house them, causing them to become tormented souls within their former cells. Probably the most haunted prison in the United States, if not in the world, is, you guessed it, Eastern State Penitentiary. Located, of course, as we said, in Pennsylvania. It was built in 1829, and believe it or not, it was the most expensive building ever built in the United States at the time. And it became the template for prisons around the United States, approximately 300 of them. And it is believed that those housed within the prison would look within themselves and find God during their imprisonment. What actually happened is they were locked away in solitude eventually and became insane, kind of like me. I'm insane. Just ask my coworkers. Within the prison, I guess this, could you imagine? Each cell had a table, a bed, a Bible, and I'm not sure what version Bible, but, you know, being locked up, you know, I guess it really doesn't matter. And you got a toilet. Can you imagine? I hope it isn't like the one we have at work.
Don't know, but there is a picture on the, I guess, WPRS Facebook page, and I can tell you right now, I would not use it because it ain't much.
You might as well just sit on the ground like a dog. But it says for 23 hours a day, prisoners were left in their cells, and if they were leaving their cells, a black hood was put over their head so they couldn't see anyone else. So you basically were all alone all the time. And it says communication between prisoners was completely forbidden in an effort to cleanse their soul through solitude. Naturally, many of them broke the rules. And when they did, oh, they had some horrible punishment. And I want to share a few of those punishments. And you guys better hope you never had to deal with these.
These are bad.
And by the way, want to just give a shout out to Tony. It's good to see that he's listening. You know, some of my coworkers did a very stupid thing to him today, but I'm glad to see he's all right. And
I'd like to say hi to Pam. I hope she's out there listening. She was the one who actually went with us. So if you see an attractive looking lady on our WPRS Facebook page, nobody knows who she is. It's Pam.
Okay, some of the punishments. There was one called the Mad Chair, and the inmates were strapped to the chair so they could not make any movement, and they would be left there for days with no food and only got out when the circulation in their body nearly stopped. And it says the reason they call it the Mad Chair was you'd be locked up like that. You wouldn't go insane.
You'd get mad too.
And then they had something called the Hole. That sounds kind of risque. It was a hole in the ground where inmates who broke the rules would spend weeks with no light, very little air, and only bread and water, which would often be eaten by rats and roaches if they did not get to it fast enough. And I believe when we were there, we actually saw the hole, one of them.
I think we saw the hole. I know we saw the Mad Chair. In fact, there is a picture, I think it's on my Facebook, and maybe Night Vision's Facebook page as well. I thought it was a dentist chair, but I was wrong. Anyway, next.
And then there was the water bath. And this was when the inmate disobeyed the rules. And it involved being dunked in a bath of cold water and then hung from a wall all night long. And during the winter, there would be a layer of ice on the inmate's skin by morning. And then this one, I cannot believe. This is like one of the worst and most deadly punishment. It said if you talked, and my coworkers, this is the one they would get because they talk all the time. But if you talked, an iron collar was clamped on your tongue and chained to your wrist, which themselves were strapped high behind the back. Mm. Any movement caused bleeding and tearing of the tongue, and many of the inmates died from loss of blood. And let me tell you, I don't know if you've ever got a paper cut on your tongue. That hurts a lot. So I can only imagine what that would feel like.
You really go around licking paper, Eric?
I work in a print shop.
Oh.
So there's not much you can lick.
Oh.
Well, anyway, now we're going to share a few little interesting little stories. I'm going to let Wendy tell a few, and then I'll tell a few.
Well, my favorite part of the whole trip for seeing Eastern State Penitentiary was the room that had all the mural. Is that how you say it? Mural?
Yeah.
Had the mural on it, and it was done by Philadelphia artist Crimes. Wow, Crimes. Anyway, he took 39 panels, which was used by piece from contraband prison sheets. He took hair gel, plastic spoons, and New York Times clippings. He was serving a 70-month jail sentence. It actually ended just last September, actually. He was in prison for possession of cocaine with intent to distribute. Woo, I can't talk to my even. The year after he graduated with the BA in studio art from Millersville University in Pennsylvania, he spent his first year awaiting sentencing in a 22-hour-per-day lockdown in his cell, banned from venturing outside for fresh air or sunlight. To cope with the isolation and the shock of being a non-violent drunk offended in a medium-security prison surrounded by Aryan Nation leaders, Russian mobsters, and other violent criminals, he started making art. And this is what he did. He just, like I said, he took the sheets and he took them and did them up with hair gel and made, how would you say it?
He made panels.
He made 39 different panels and mailed them to his girlfriend, Chi Kaplan. And after he was out of prison, they actually put it up on the wall of the cell that he was in. It's really interesting because the bottom piece is ARF, of course. There is a middle piece that is earth. No, bottom piece would be hell. The middle piece would be earth. The top piece would be heaven. So he was quite a person. He actually has a website if you want to look him up anymore. It's JesseCrimes, KRIMES.com.
And I was looking here, that's kind of interesting. They have the first escape attempt came in 1832 when an inmate, number 94, William Hamilton, was serving dinner in the warden's apartment. When the warden had stepped out for a moment, William managed to tie several sheets together and climb out the window. When he was finally caught in 37, he was returned to his old cell. Another memorable near escape was in 1826 when 8 inmates took turns making a tunnel under cells 24 and 25. And I know a lot of this doesn't make sense, but we're going to try to post a thing that shows what the prison actually looks like.
The layout was, yeah.
So you can get a better understanding. And it says they tunneled almost 35 feet before being discovered. And in 1945, and that's like recent, really, if you really think about it, a group of prisoners actually succeeded in making a tunnel using wood from the prison shop as reinforcements. When it was completed, the men left at slightly different times to avoid being caught. The guards had caught the last two climbing out, and others were apprehended only a few blocks away. And this, I didn't even know, but this is kind of cool too. It said, this soon became the most famous prison in America, and tourists from all around came to visit. And one of the most famous tourists was the author Charles Dickens. And he actually visited during his five-month tour in America in 1942. He said it was a necessary destination right after Niagara Falls. Oh, I've been there, and that's beautiful there, too. He would later write about his trip in 1845, saying, the system here is rigid, strict, and hopeless solitary confinement. I believe it and its effects to be cruel and wrong. He also went on to write about how the treatment of prisoners was torturing of the mind and much worse than any physical punishment that could be administered. And then it says, by 1870s, the method of total solitary confinement was abandoned, was considered a large failure due to the lack of results. It was decided that Eastern State would become a regular prison. More cells were built. The personal exercise yards were also turned into cells due to overcrowding. The original cells were renovated to be able to hold up to five men instead of just one. Now, can you imagine five men sharing one toilet, one bed, and one Bible?
Mm.
And they
maybe they gave them more by that time.
I hope so. They said extra buildings were built as well, and a wood shop and education programs were added to help not only the prisoners but Eastern State as well. Selling the goods, inmates made help fund Eastern State for years. And then, now I'd like Wendy to talk about Pep.
About Pep, yes, the murdering dog. Ah, lovely. Okay, Pep. He was known as the Pennsylvania cat murderer. A vicious hound sentenced to life in prison at Eastern State Penitentiary for the grisly killing of the governor's cat. In his prison mugshot from 1924, he's seen with ears drooping backwards, identification number hanging from around his neck, looking decisively guilty. Well, his tag number is C2559, and he looks like a ferocious dog. Well, no. Not really. Says, according to newspaper stories at the time, Pep the Black Labrador attacked and killed a cat belonging to the wife of Pennsylvania's then governor, Gifford Pinchot. Showing absolutely no remorse for his despicable crimes, Pep was sent down for life with no chance of parole. A dog having a cell. Eastern State Penitentiary. But I hate to say it, folks, he was framed. Pep was actually entirely innocent, and his actual offense was nothing more serious than chewing the cushions off of the sofa of the governor's front porch. The account of him killing the cat was entirely fictitious. It was made up by a newspaper reporter taking a touch more than his fair share of journalistic license. The editor loved the story as it was frequently reprinted bearing the mugshot picture. Man, they really did this all wrong.
Yeah, no.
The governor's son would later recall how his father was inundated with absolutely thousands of letters about Pep and his prison sentence. Of course, the real story is far less exciting. Original story is, Pep was originally a gift to Pennsylvania's governor from the nephew of his wife, Cornelia Bryce Pinchot. One of her relatives was a breeder of Labrador retrievers. He became a much-loved part of the household at the start of Pinchot's first term as governor, which lasted between 1923 and 1927. But in early 1924, he began to develop a bad case of chewing on the cushions and on the front porch. Pinchot decided that the unruly dog had to go, and a trip to a penitentiary in Maine had given him the perfect solution. Pet was sent to Eastern State Penitentiary, but not as a prisoner. I repeat, not as a prisoner.
So he actually didn't service then.
He didn't. On his visit to Maine, the governor had seen dogs being used as therapy to help inmates rehab and thought Pep could be the perfect candidate. So the naughty dog was packed off to prison as a pet, where he became the favorite among the inmates.
Wow.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
It was weird because when we were there, I was like, man, this dog was given this one little center, this one little room, this one little toilet with one little Bible.
Now, what's he going to do with the Bible? Wow, that's interesting. A Bible for a dog. I wonder what version it was.
I don't know. I have to come up with that one.
And this is kind of interesting that I'd like to share.
Oh, 1924 Pennsylvania Governor Gifford Pinchot had sentenced Pep, the cat murdering dog.
No, you read that.
I did read that one. In May of 1929, Al Capone, yes, my favorite, bodyguard Frankie Rio had ripped down town to avoid heat that was still coming from the bloody events of the St. Valentine's Day Massacre in Chicago. Oh, when sentenced to a year in prison on charges of carrying concealed weapons. Then they found themselves in Eastern State. Though Capone was in prison for his business, his business continued. He was given a private cell and was given permission to make long-distance phone calls from the warden's office. What? He was also allowed to meet with his lawyers and with Frank Nitti, Jack Guzik, and his brother Ralph, all of whom could visit him often. His stay at Eastern State was far more comfortable than other inmates. We surely saw that. An article in the Philadelphia Public Ledger for August 20th, 1929, described his cell. It says, the home room was suffused in the glow of a desk lamp which stood on a polished desk. On the once grim walls of the panel chamber hung tasteful paintings, and the strains of a waltz were emitted from a powerful cabinet radio receiver. It was during his incarceration.
Yeah.
I need to go to bed, y'all.
In
his state, that Capone first began to be haunted by the ghost of James Clark, one of the St. Valentine's Day Massacre victims and the brother-in-law of his rival Bugs Moran. Many inmates reported that they would hear Capone screaming in his cell, begging for Jimmy to go away and to leave him alone. Even after his release, he claimed Jimmy would continue to haunt him till his death. That I didn't know.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. There's so much information about this place. I strongly urge anybody, if they want to go somewhere, this is definitely one to put on the list.
I would go stay in that room.
Yeah, I know, because I'm telling you, when I saw that, I thought, who's this for? And it says that talk began amongst inmates in 1960 about the Eastern State closing. The building was collapsing in areas. The walls were crumbling. and it said it would cost nearly as much to build a new prison as it would to renovate Eastern State.
Oh.
And then it said by 1970, I was 3 years old. Oh, I just told my age. Wow. Interesting. It says Pennsylvania Governor Schaefer announced that four new prisons would be built to replace Eastern State.
Oh.
And construction began immediately. And it says most of the men were transferred to Greaterford on April 14, 1971. Eastern State was empty. It ain't empty anymore.
Oh.
It wasn't until the New Jersey State prison riots that Eastern State opened its doors once more for 8 months, then stood empty yet again. And what I want to do now, before we tell a few other things, I know a lot of people enjoyed when we told like some of the ghost stories.
Ooh.
So I have a few stories here and different things that happened. And they said, although the cells of Eastern State were empty of prisoners, they were not empty of lost souls. For whatever reason it be, the souls of former residents still linger the halls of Eastern State. Maybe it is because they could never find their way out, or maybe they stay behind because of their traumatic departures from life. Numerous volunteers and visitors alike have had experiences that still give them chills. Even before the closing of the prison, stories would float around from inmates and guards of supernatural activity, whispers, laughter, weeping, and eerie sound of pacing feet are anything but uncommon within the walls. And they said the idea of staying in the penitentiary alone is just overwhelming. I would not stay here overnight.
I would.
But this is Greta Galuska. She was a program coordinator for the prison. And here it says, one of the more common claims is the sound of echoing laughter in cell block 12. And there's another one, but I want Wendy to share that because she's got an interesting story to share first about that feeling.
Oh, well, if anybody knows me and knows how I work in the paranormal field, they know that I go off mainly my feelings, you know, the cold chills, the hair standing up on your back. Well, we were in the middle of Eastern State Penitentiary on Saturday, and actually I think it was Eric that said, go over in the middle and see which block, because when you stand in the middle of Eastern State Penitentiary, you can see pretty much all the cell blocks because it's at a star shape. So I stood there, and I was like, okay, cell block 6. The cell block 6 is blocked off. They're using it to show what it would look like if it hadn't been renovated, because it's just kind of there and everything, all the walls are falling in or whatever. So we walked, I was like, yeah, 6, that's it. And it was the feeling I got. So we went over, we walked, and we talked to the, what would he be? He would be one of the guys that worked there. He would be, what would be the word?
A guide.
Like a guide, yeah, like a tour guide, whatever. And he pretty much told me I was crazy and that nobody had ever heard of anything coming out of cell block 6. And then he went on to me to tell us some information about how to book a overnight investigation there, which we will tell you later. And I was like, okay, so maybe I was wrong. Well, it says here, in cell block 6, a shadowy figure can be seen moving down the wall, filling the people who see it with dread and fear and an urge to get away as quickly as possible. So I think that was probably what I was feeling.
Yeah, can you imagine that? A guide from this place said he didn't know of anything.
Which they might not. I mean, I think he was trying to sell us overnight, which we're going to go do next year. So get in touch with me. We're going to get a group together, and we're going to go.
Yes, hint, hint, Tony.
Yeah, a lot of you, I know Pam, you're going back with us. You're going to go in this time.
Unless she's too chicken.
Chicken. That's another story for tonight.
Yes. And they actually hear, they say they talk about the shadowy apparitions in the cells and halls, and that they said the phantom is the most common of these sightings. He is described as a dark, human-like figure who stands still and quiet till you get too close, then he darts away into the darkness. Every person who has ever encountered the phantom states that he gives you a feeling of anger and maleficence.
You sound like me tonight.
Yeah, I know.
We all need to go to bed.
These are $3 words that they're using. But everybody knows it's like evil. But now I need to tell you some of the little ghost stories per se. And this one kind of gave me goosebumps. I mean, not that I was scared, but it's just one of those things, you know, that I would like to experience. It says there was a locksmith who was removing a 140-year-old lock from a cell door when a force suddenly grabbed him so tightly he could not move. It happened in cell block 4, which is where many of the worst tortures occurred. And some believe that when the locksmith removed the lock, he unleashed the horrific past from its containment, allowing prisoner ghosts trapped there to get out. The locksmith said that he felt horrible negative energy coming out of the cell. Within the cells of this cell block, faces will appear on the wall. Distorted forms will move around the cell block. One of the worst spirits is the one that beckons those in the cell block to follow him, as it did with the locksmith. To this day, the locksmith is still affected by a huge presence beckoning him to follow to a place most likely no one would want to go. And another spirit that is frequently seen is a ghost that stands high above in a guard tower. And what's weird, and I didn't tell anybody, I probably should, because then it would look more like... But I, for some reason, kept taking pictures of the guard tower and that. And it says, I believe that spirit belongs to a guard that was murdered by an inmate while on watch. Why would a guard who is free to leave stay standing his post after death is a mystery many have wondered. In a given year, 24 different paranormal investigations take place at Eastern State. And the style of haunting is apparitions. The top 100 ranking, this is number 46.
Ooh. In places?
Yeah. So that's pretty good.
Nice.
And I know when I first got there, I felt like a stabbing pain. You know, it wasn't really one that was painful or be like, oh, I got to get out of here. But it was one, you know, how those inmates would kind of bully you. And since I always consider myself as the type that would be, you know, the goody-goody two-shoes, the one that would tell on people, oh, this person did this. It was like, you know, they were letting me know, don't share stuff. And this actually says, for anyone who wants to stay in the most haunted prison in the United States, this is a place to go. But if you're going to stay overnight after the prison closes, you better have nerves of steel. Because it says when former prisoners come out to experience a bit of freedom, they were denied when they were inmates, don't be surprised if a former inmate tries to beckon you to follow him, or if you see things that will haunt you for years. It says this is not for the faint of heart. Now, this is a part, Tony, you don't share with anybody, okay? Because I don't want to scare people that they don't want to go. And it should not be underestimated just how bad things can be when the lights go off. This I want to somehow post because they have the daring escape that, you know, we mentioned earlier. And it shows the actual tunnel they made. It's really crazy. I mean, I'm just amazed about some of the prisoners that were in there and what they were able to do. And, you know, they still have the areas where they dug the tunnels. They didn't fix it, so you can see the holes they made. And
I'm going to send a link to that. There are already some pictures that I put up of the people who actually dug out. Some of their pictures are already up on the Facebook page. So, but I'm ready to go. Can we go already?
I wish, because I'm telling you this. The other place I want to go that they were talking about is the
Pennhurst.
And they said that one actually has, like, tunnels underneath. And I am, like, a tunnel freak. I'd probably like, as they say, and not being stupid, but I probably like the hole because it was so dark.
Oh, yeah, I want to go to the hole.
And just, you know, some information, if anybody's interested in going, it says the prison is now open to the public, and in year three, is often a couple dozen paranormal investigations done. You can go on tours of the amazing buildings with a horrible history, and some of the employees will tell you. And now you can go on a self-guided tour, and they have like these tape recorders.
Oh, those are awesome.
That will give you information, like,
yeah.
It has numbers, and you click the numbers when you get to them, and they'll tell you. But what I wanted to do this time was I didn't listen to it, because the first time I wanted to go experience and see what I got, and then the next time I go, I'm going to listen to and just, you know, see. And but, it's, you know, like I said, it's up to the individual, because some people, you know, like to go, and the prices are not bad at all.
Mm-mm. I think it says between 5 and 15 people for a group. It's only $100 a person.
Yeah, so that.
So we're going to be getting 15 people up next year, and we're going to be going. So hint, hint.
And they say that when you do go, one of the guides stays there with you. And the reason is they want to make sure, you know, you don't damage or go into an area they don't want you to go into, which, you know, I don't mind the guys being there, but I hope it isn't like another place we had gone to where they tried to purposely scare us to make it more, you know, exciting. And for me, I don't need the spooky to make it exciting for me, because I'm serious. This place is amazing. And now we are going to share
Terror Behind the Walls.
Yes. And that was, oh my gosh, that was so much fun. And since I've done a lot of talking, I'm going to let Wendy share her experience going through that.
Oh, Terror Behind the Walls. Dang. So you get there and you... Well, they did the X, or they did the asking first. They ask you if you want what they call opt-in. An opt-in means you get an X on your face, and a necklace, a glow necklace, which means you can be touched. You can be led down different tunnels. You can be led away from your group. You can pretty much be done anything to. I wish Busch Gardens had this.
Yes.
So we get there and we all opt in. Of course, Pam didn't go. She's chicken. She went out and did her own thing. So we get there and we opt in and we go in and there's six different haunted, I guess it'd be called sections. It's not really different haunted houses, terror zones, so we go on the first one and then there's this guy and he grabs me and he tells me to come here, go with me, you're going there. So what it was you just kind of followed the wall and followed the pattern that they have and you met up back up with your other group, with your group. So we were doing, it was awesome. The actors in there were amazing. They could touch you and it's way different than anything I've ever been. I mean, I'm used to going to Busch Gardens. And Busch Gardens, you can't even talk to them hardly.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah, this is different than anything I've ever been to. So then we're going again and again and a little bit and a little bit and a little bit. And then this other guy, he's like, you, in there. So I had to crawl in this hole.
Hey, you got to experience the hole.
I had to experience the hole. It wasn't the same hole. So you crawl and you crawl and you crawl and then you come out and you meet up with your group because somehow they have it directed where they go away and then you meet up with each other. So, I mean, we all kind of got an experience. And then you had an experience yourself, which was kind of interesting.
Yeah, the experience I had, this guy stood in front of me and I'm like, oh, finally it's my turn. And he stopped me, and it was to inform me that I needed to get a refund on the shirt I was wearing because it was grammatically wrong. So, yeah, they had a humorous side, too.
What his shirt says, in case you're wondering, is if you're a ghost hunter, and then it goes on to say some other things. I forgot what it was. Anyway, and you're supposed to be Y-O-U apostrophe R-E. Well, it says, if you're Y-O-U-R a ghost hunter.
So it was like, no fair. And what she didn't tell you, I'm going to tell a little bit on Wendy, was, you know, most people, when they were taken away from the group, you know, they were like, oh, save me, save me. Well, all you could hear from Wendy was, and if you've ever gone to, like, Busch Gardens with the group I work with, there's one that every time we took him through a place, he'd do this, like, and Wendy did this same noise when she got pulled away, and she was laughing and like asking them to take her away.
Yeah, it takes a lot to scare me. And I got scared in a couple places, but I did want to get touched. I did want to get led away. I wanted to sit in that dentist chair, which wasn't the dentist chair after all.
Yeah, I know. The guy in front of us, they actually, a doctor put him on an operating table.
Yeah.
And was acting like he was going to operate on him. So, I mean, it is, if you enjoy stuff and you don't mind, I enjoyed it because it allowed you to experience it more. I like the more hands-on. And tell them about that one section. The 3D.
Oh, you get 3D glasses. It was actually probably 4D.
Oh, yeah, true. Because
you get touched. And they had chainsaws, which the same chainsaws are like bush chainsaws without the without the actual chain, but they still hurt because they still vibrate and they're still hot and they still scare the crap out of you. The nurses were in holes and they were grabbing your feet and
yeah,
I don't know. And
Wendy called one of them a naughty nurse, and she's like, "Why, thank you."
Yeah, she liked the naughty nurse. Hint, hint, y'all, those of y'all from Busch Gardens. So, naughty nurses, yeah.
And after you actually got through, you thought, oh, this is cool. You know, they have a nice little gift shop. And you think, oh, I'm done.
Mm-mm.
Little did you know,
still
in the yard. You were fair game.
Yep, they would touch you. They would do anything. They'd come and get all in your face and say to you.
Yeah, because they got in my face, and he actually said, "What are you doing, big boy?" And I don't know if he was coming on to me or if he was trying to scare me. And, of course, I jumped because, you know, if someone gets in your face when you don't expect it, I mean – hey, anybody would jump. But, I mean, I'm serious. I had such a good time. And out in, the prison yard when we were out there, I took a picture, and I'm going to post it. But to give you a scale of how tall the walls were, I mean, people look like little ants.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, what, the walls were how high?
No.
There was...
They were tall.
They were incredibly tall, and then they went like 6 or 7 feet down into the ground as well. So, I mean, you know, for those guys that dug a tunnel, they were seriously wanting to get out of there. And as you heard from some of the stuff, I mean, I wouldn't want to stay in there either. And we actually got to go on a little with a tour guide into this like hospital area.
And then that was cool. I'm going to have pictures up for that tomorrow on my Facebook page. They actually had an operating room in there.
Yeah, that was.
That picture will be up tomorrow.
And they said a lot of times when they did operations, they wouldn't use any anesthesia or anything on them. So it was rough. But, you know, the thing I found interesting was they had a really bad outbreak with, what was the?
Tuberculosis?
Yeah, tuberculosis. Because of, you know, no circulation, no light in the cells. So actually in the hospital, in these cells, they had like what looked like glass windows at the top and then like barn doors. And they would leave these open, and they'd leave them open year-round. And when winter, you know, it's cold, they'd give them a couple, you know, a few extra blankets. But then, you know, think about it. I mean, now they were getting the air they needed and light, but, you know, it was cold. And I don't get cold easily, but, I mean, and in most of these cells, they didn't even have floors. It was dirt. Now, Al Capone, he had a carpet, so he could walk around barefoot and it wouldn't matter. All these other guys that I was trying to think too. It was like the stairs or something going up to the guard tower, and there was like a peephole, and I took a picture in that, and I'm going to post those as
yeah.
well. And in one of the pictures, there's like a weird-looking thing. And in the other one, the picture right after, I took, and you don't see it. So I'm going to post that as well. And, you know, would love anybody that goes to the webpage to, you know, give their thoughts, ideas. There's no wrong answer because at this point, I don't know what it is because I can't really say it was any dust or dirt because it's not in the other picture. Because I took it right after.
I do have two pictures I have something. I'll need some people to look at. I'm going to post those too. But something interesting while we have a few minutes. It says, well, first of all, I'm going to put a picture up. Each cell block had a skylight in it. And I was wondering what the skylight was. I mean, a prisoner, why would a prisoner need a skylight? Well, what it says is, this design is related to penance, which is where the word penitentiary comes from, which is what they were trying to do, and ties to the religious inspiration of the prison. The cells were made of concrete with a single glass skylight representing the eye of God.
Wow.
Suggesting to the prisoners that God was always watching them. I did not know that.
I didn't either.
Things you learn. I'm ready to go back and tell you these things again.
Yeah, I know, and we do. We have some pictures of these, and because, you know, at the time, we didn't know what it was. I was just, like, taking pictures, and I know we promised a lot of things, and we'll get everything posted, I promise, but I'm serious. You know, we are going to go back, and we want anybody that wants to go, you know, and you don't have
to. I'm going to be getting up a trip. I think we need to get some vans and stuff and just take a trip up there. It's from 9 o'clock at night to 1 o'clock in the morning. It's a 4-hour overnight investigation. Well, it's not overnight. 4-hour investigation. like I said, it's $100. And, you know, write me and tell me, and then we'll get a trip up. We will.
And I promise you, whoever goes will bring you back in one piece. Because...
I can't promise that. Ghosts might get them.
Well, yeah, I guess I shouldn't say that. Sorry, scratch that. You guys are on your own. Good luck.
So, yeah, if I see any more interesting things, I'll post it. Because this has got to be one of the most, just, it's different, It has, you know, like outbreaks. It has everything.
I was just reading here that I didn't know this, and this is really interesting, that Eastern State could be considered the first modern prison.
Modern prison. I guess,
and
it is designed for, yeah.
And you can, when you go on the tour, they'll show you, because you can see how the cells change. Because at first they were like little box-looking things, and then they slowly got like these steel-looking ceilings. Mm-hmm. It is crazy. And they have a photo here of a prisoner named Willie Sutton in 1934. And they have a photo of him taken mere minutes after his escape in 1945. And it says Sutton's post-escape mugshot, the wanted poster, issued after his escape from Holmesburg. And he, at the time, he was one of the FBI's 10 most wanted fugitives. And I didn't know this. I got a few minutes, I want to share this. It said the most famous escape in the history of Eastern State Penitentiary was the work of 12 men. They were like the Dirty Dozen, but less well-adjusted. The most infamous among them was Willie Sutton, a.k.a. Slick Willie, a.k.a. Willie the Actor, a.k.a. the Gentleman Bandit, a.k.a. the Babe Ruth of bank robbers. And it says those nicknames alone tell you everything you need to know about him. He was, by all accounts, especially his own, exactly what you want an old-timey bank robber to be. Charming, devious, master of disguise, and, of course, an accomplished escape artist who, in 11 years there, made at least 5 escape attempts.
It was told in another place that I was reading that he looks like Frank Sinatra.
He actually does. Look.
Yeah, he does.
Wow. Yeah, we're going to definitely post the 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 link to all this so you guys can check it out.
All right, now we've got a few more minutes. I hate to change the subject on you, but next week we will be having Jake Five from Five Paranormal with us.
And you need to be there. If you've heard him, he is awesome.
He is amazing. Love him. Love you, Jake. Telling about St. Albans. We're going to be in St. Albans on November the 11th, and I'm going to be posting some information about that as well. So, anyway, I'm ready to go back to Eastern State.
So let me, once again, thank everybody for listening. We hope it was information.
Yeah, information.
Wow.
You need to go to bed, y'all.
No, there's too much to tell. But anyway, we hope you found it, you know, informative, and hope you continue to listen. And if there's any more you want to know about Eastern State, send us an email, send us a message, or tell us in person. But thank you, everybody. We love you all, and we hope you have an awesome night. We hope everybody had a good Halloween and the kids got a lot of candy and stayed safe. Not a lot of action going around here when you live in the country.
Yeah, we live in the ass end of nowhere. But anyway, happy, what is the day after Halloween?
Happy post-Halloween.
Yeah.
And we'll see you guys next week.
All right. Love y'all. Bye.
Bye.